I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 30. As I was studying back around Easter, the Lord brought this Scripture to mind, and I began studying it out, and some great truth that we find from this verse of Scripture. It's been burning ever since, and I thought that I may preach it at different times, but the Lord would give us something else. But throughout the week, He dealt with my heart again along these lines, and I want to preach here from John 19, verse 30. It says, "And when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." There's three words in that, the middle portion of that Scripture, that simply say, "It is finished." And on one side of the coin, the world can look at that and they can say that this was a cry of defeat. But I can tell you, this was a proclamation of victory. Amen. And I want to preach of the Lord to help us on those three words. On "It is finished." Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love You. We are so thankful for the privilege that we have to be in Your house. God, the light has fallen for the preacher of the Word of God. I'm asking now for the unction, the anointing, the empowerment of Your Spirit. God, if there's ever been a man that needs Your touch, I need it this morning. God, I'm tired in my body, but I feel quickened and alive in my soul this morning and in my spirit. And I'm asking, oh God, that You would do the work this morning. I feel like You want to help individuals in this house. God, help is in the house because You're in this house. I'm asking, Lord, that You have Your will and Your way, and we're going to love You, thank You, and praise You for it all in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. I failed to mention, but thank you to Brother Steve. I caught a one-way flight back home and was going to Uber home, and somehow he found out about it and came to the airport yesterday, picked me up and drove me home and wouldn't even let me pay for his gas. But I thank Him for that, Brother Steve. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much. But in John chapter number 19, Jesus, the last words that He recorded as He hung on the cross were the words, "It is finished." And the Bible says that He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Now we know that while He was hanging on the cross, the Roman soldiers did not take His life, but rather He gave His life. He laid down His life for us. And it's very important there when He cried, "It is finished," that His work, it was complete, that He gave up the ghost. He gave up His life. He gave up His spirit and rendered it back unto the Father. We know the place where this happened was the place Golgotha. Now, I did some studying on this, and I began reading a publication, and the writer talked about this, and I said, in 36 years, I had never heard this, and in years of preaching and studying, I had never heard it, and I began digging into it, and I did find some historical references of the early Christian writers where they wrote about this place called Golgotha. Now, we know Golgotha to be the place of the skull is what it is referred to in Scriptures, and I've seen pictures of Golgotha, and Brother Ray, different ones have been there, and you can look at it in the rock formation. It does look like the place of a skull. The indentions in the rock, you can see what would be the eyes. And the rock formation, it does have the appearance of the skull. But in digging in early Christian writings, early writers and historians say that the place of the skull, Golgotha, its name was derived that not because of its appearance, but because of a famous burial that took place on that mound. Early Christian history states that Golgotha was the place where Adam was buried. I have no way of proving that. I have no way of saying of 100% certainty that that is the truth. But early historical writers do state that emphatically. And they said that in the place at the bottom of Golgotha was the place where Adam's body was buried, and that this was the place of Adam's skull. A lot of Catholic writings, when you see pictures of Jesus on the cross, at the foot of the cross you will oftentimes find a skull. I had wondered about that. And now I'm not telling you to go research a lot of Catholic history, but I had wondered just in my mind, what was the importance of the skull? Well, that was it. They said that this place, Golgotha, was the place where Adam was buried. And early history records, again, I have no way of stating this emphatically. I'm not here stating 100% that it is the truth. I'm giving you early historical writings. But when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible does tell us that there was a great earthquake. And history tells us that these early history writings said that when Jesus was on the cross and his blood was pouring down out of his body, that at the foot of the cross was a fault line, a crack in the ground, and that the blood of Jesus went down upon the bones and the skull of Adam. Now again, I'm not telling you 100% that that is of a truth, of a certainty, whether or not that historical account is true. Amen. But what a great thought at the possibility. Amen. Of Adam. We know that Adam in Christ is forever linked, in that Christ was referred to as the second or the last Adam. Adam was the father of all of the earth. We know that Christ was the father of all spiritually. And Adam and his fall will always be linked in symbol and in type, amen, to Christ and his redemption. Why is that? Because everything that Adam gave away in the garden, Christ came to restore at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Everything that Adam gave away, Christ came to restore. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "And so it is written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, or Christ, was made a quickening spirit, or a life giver." Adam received life from the Father. Jesus came to give life from the Father. In Romans chapter number 5, it says, "Wherefore is one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." That was Adam. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. Therefore, as by the offense," and I'm skipping a lot for the sake of time, "and therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Adam was the father of all of the earth. If you and I were to trace our DNA back to its point of origin, you and I, every one of us, whether we're red, yellow, black, or white, we are all precious in God's sight, but we all will have our DNA traced back to the same source, which was Adam. He was the father of all of the earth. Amen. He was the one that we trace everything back to. But I can tell you, spiritually speaking, everything that we are, we owe not to Adam, but we owe to Christ. Amen. The Father of all. Hallelujah. Thank God that there was a first Adam. But more so, I am thankful this morning for the second Adam, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no way of proving whether or not that the blood of Jesus, amen, reached down, amen, through the earth to the bones of Adam, as early church history depicts and tells us, amen. But I can tell you, spiritually speaking, amen, the blood of Jesus this morning is able to cover, amen, everything, amen, that Adam was not, amen, everything that Adam did in plunging this world into sin and into ungodliness. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse and to redeem. I'll say it again. Thank God for the first Adam, amen, that made it possible for us to live physically. But more so this morning, thank God for the last Adam that birthed us spiritually into the kingdom of God, that reconciled us to the Father by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Adam made man unrighteous, but Christ came to make man righteous through the blood. Amen. Our righteousness, Isaiah says in 64, is as of a filthy rag. But we read Romans 5 and 19. Amen. But by one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. Adam made us unrighteous, but God through Jesus has made us righteous. Adam gave away his eternal life. When Adam was created, he was created in the image and the nature of God. Amen. He was created, amen, with the attributes, amen, of God. And one of that was eternal, immortal life. Adam would have been immortal as long as he had never sinned. Amen. But Adam gave away that right in the garden. Adam gave away his eternal life, but Christ on the cross come to give us eternal life. Hallelujah. Adam gave it away, but Jesus come to grant it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, this old body, this body of flesh and corruption, it's going to die one day. But I can tell you, the soul, amen, is going to live forever. It has eternal life through Christ Jesus. He made it possible when he said it is finished. The pathway to eternal life was forever purchased through Christ Jesus. Adam gave it away, but Jesus come to give it back. I figured you'd be shouting by now. Hallelujah. Adam fell in the garden, but do you find it interesting that the first blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed was not on the cross, was not at the whipping post, but the first drops of his blood was shed in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Bible says his sweat were as great drops of blood. His body was in so much anguish and turmoil in the garden as he was praying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Adam fell in the garden, but it was in the garden that redemption for man began. And the first drops of royal blood, amen, were paid. Adam and Eve, what did they do? They partook of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Jesus Christ, when he paid redemption for man's sin, where did he hang? He hung on a tree. Cursed is any man that hang on the tree. Jesus Christ, amen. Adam and Eve, they took sin. Amen. The sin was disobedience, and the God partaking of the tree. Jesus said, I'm going to go right back to the tree. I'm going to take the curse of men. Hallelujah. Adam reached for the fruit and grabbed it with their hands. Where was it that Christ took the nails in his hands? I'm talking to you about the correlation between the first Adam and the last Adam, or the greatest Adam, which was Christ. It was sin that Adam and Eve, when they grabbed the fruit before they could ever taste it with their lips and their tongue, they had to grab it with their hand. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, when he hung on a cross, he took nails in his hand. The great Adam. Adam and Eve fell, what did they do? They ran from the presence of the Lord and they hid themselves. You see, it was that moment in time that fellowship was broken between Adam and God. It was their feet that carried them from the presence of the Lord. Not only did Jesus take nails in his hands, my God, he also took them in his feet. Said, Adam, your feet caused you to break fellowship when you ran from the presence of the Lord. But I'm taking nails in my feet to restore fellowship between God and man. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Adam and Eve ran from the presence of the Lord. Christ took the nails in his hands and his feet. This morning, if you're born again, amen, we have right standing with the Father. When we come before God, if we're born again and the blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed us, we don't stand before him as a sinner. I heard the song just the other day. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I didn't get a single amen right there. I was a sinner, but I'm not a sinner anymore. Hallelujah. That's who I was, but that is not who I am. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made an heir to God, a joint heir with Christ. I am a child of God. I know the soul means well, but theologically it's all. We're not sinners if we're born again. We're dead to sin. We don't live in sin anymore. We've been made righteous and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I come before God, I come to him under the blood, and I have right standing with the Father because he took the nails in his feet for you and for me. When Adam fell, there was a curse put on the ground, and he told Adam, thorns and thistles you're going to have to deal with all the days of your life. What was it that Jesus had placed on his head? An awful crown of thorns. Hallelujah. What Christ was showing and everything he did in redemption. Amen. I have come, amen, to make right everything that Adam did wrong. I've come, amen, to make amends and to make a new and a living way. Amen. Christ, when he took the thorns, when he took the tree, amen, he was showing, I'm taking every curse, amen, upon myself. I know that there's a lot of people that subscribe to generational curses. And they said, because my granddaddy was this way, my daddy was this way, then I'm going to be this way. I know in a lot of ways the apple don't fall far from the tree. But can I tell you, in Jesus Christ, every curse is broken. Just because my granddaddy was something, just because my daddy was something, that don't mean I have to become that. I've been born from above. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Every curse is broken in the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the curse of sin upon himself so that you and I wouldn't have to. Hallelujah, that we can be made free, and whom the Son had made free, he shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Out of that, I don't have time to preach all this. I've got to get into It's Finished. But there's so much here. You look, out of Adam's side, he was made to sleep. And God took a rib out of Adam's side and made Eve. I can't theologically explain this. But when God created Adam, the Bible said he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into Adam his nostrils, and man became a living soul. When he created Eve, he simply put Adam to sleep. He took his rib out of Adam, and he made woman to be a helpmate. He didn't breathe into Eve's nostrils and her become a living soul. He took life from the man and gave to the woman. I don't understand how he could create Adam from the dust of the ground and he had to breathe into Adam to give him life. When it come time to Eve, he just took a rib. He didn't take lungs and a heart, and he didn't clone anything. He took a rib. She began to live. You see, woman has come out of the side of man, Eve. Amen. Come from the side of Adam. Everything that Eve needed for life came from God and Adam's side. This just come to me this morning. Don't have time to get into all of that. But you see, when Christ was on the cross, he was crucified, took the curse upon him, nails in his hands and his feet. They were wanting to hurry up and kill these prisoners. So they took clubs and they broke the other two prisoners' feet, legs, to speed up the death process. But when they come to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. Now, to fulfill the book of Psalms, there was not to be one bone of the Messiah broken. They didn't break his legs. But to make sure that he was dead, what did they do? They pierced his side. And what flowed out? Blood and water. You see, out of Adam's side came everything that Eve needed for life. I can't explain that. But can I tell you, out of the side of Christ flowed blood and water. Redemption and the Spirit. Everything that we need spiritually to be made alive. I've come to tell you it flows from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I need the blood to be redeemed. I need the blood to be born again. I need the blood to be washed. I need that water, which is a representation of the Spirit for life and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When he was on the cross, amen, they shoved that spirit aside. That was a message to the church. Everything you need, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you need to make it to heaven, it's in the blood, it's in the Spirit. You don't need anything else. If you've got Jesus, you've got enough. I wish I could preach this morning. God breathed into Adam's nostrils in the garden. Breathed into him. Made him a living soul. When Christ was taken off the cross, where was he put? Put in a garden tomb. And that same breath, that same resurrection power, amen, got the Lord Jesus Christ up. When Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, you read it for yourself. Two angels came down with flaming swords as a fire to keep man and woman out of the garden. But when Christ was resurrected, two angels came down from heaven, standing at the side of the tomb, and said, "This Jesus, amen, that you seek, he's alive. Yeah. He's alive forevermore." Amen. You can see the correlation and the parallels between the first Adam and the last Adam when Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." The last words that he ushered, the world can look at that. The Romans looked at that. The Jews looked at that and say, "He's defeated. It's over with. Amen. We've got him off of our hands." But I can tell you, when he said, "It is finished," it was not a cry of defeat. It was a shout and a proclamation of victory. Hallelujah. Victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the devil in my throat, voice is going out on me. God help us this morning. Wasn't a shout of defeat, but it was a shout of victory, which is where I want to preach from this morning. That phrase, "It is finished," in the Greek is the word, now I butcher the King's English. It's even worse trying to pronounce Greek words. But this one was kind of simple enough. I said, I might take a stab at it this morning. It's the Greek word tetelestai. And that word tetelestai in the original Greek means to bring to completion, to bring to a conclusion, to accomplish, to fulfill, and to finish. It means to bring a work to maturity and to perfection. When we read that phrase, "it is finished," it means one thing to us, but it means something altogether different to the people at the cross. It means something altogether different to that New Testament church. It meant something altogether different for the Greek. It was a very interesting phrase that was used to telestai. And it has many different meanings. The Greeks use word pictures a lot. And one word could have 17 different meanings. I'm not exaggerating. Love, for example. They've made books. To us, we're simple English folk. We have one word, love. They've got entire books on what the word love means to the Greek. Agape, phileo. I ain't going to try to pronounce anymore. Amen. That's above my understanding. But said all that to say this. To us, "it is finished" means one thing. But to those that heard it, it has a much deeper and a more profound meanings. You see, in biblical days, I might just shout right by myself this morning. In biblical days, when a servant was sent on a mission and his master sent him to complete a task, whether it was to run an errand or to go to the grocery store, to go sell some cows, whatever it was, when he would come back to the master's house, he would greet him with tetelestai, which simply means mission accomplished. You sent me out to do something. I completed what you sent me to do. Tetelestai. It's done. It's over. It's finished. Amen. Jesus, that analogy of servant and master, Jesus, if there's ever been an individual that embodied meant servanthood, it was Jesus. Instead of coming and sitting on a throne, he picked up a towel and he washed disciples' feet. He came to serve and to seek and to save that which is lost. As a matter of fact, in John chapter number 4, his disciples got hungry. They went in the town to go buy meat. He found a Samaritan woman. She had that encounter with her, changed her life. His disciples came back and said, "We've got you some meat." He said, "My meat is something that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father. You're satisfied by bread and by flesh. I'm satisfied by doing the will of the Father." Amen. I'm sent here on a mission. Amen. And when he was on the cross, amen, as a servant speaking to his master, he said, "Tetelestai," or mission accomplished. Lord, my will has been to do your will, and I've done it to the best of my ability. Mission accomplished. That's why I say the world looks at this word, and it is finished, as a cry of Christ of defeat. Oh no, folks, it's a cry of victory. He came to bring me the propitiation for man's sin. He came to redeem man from their sin. And he knew, hanging on the cross, he was able to utter the words, "It is finished. My mission is accomplished." God help me this morning. Meaning too, meant atonement complete. You see, when a high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement, he would offer that lamb. He would sprinkle, Brother Jason, if you could turn my mic up some, you might just turn my monitors up, you may have to turn me down in the house. He would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And that blood was a covering for the people's sin, the nation's sin, for a calendar year. And when the priest in that day would offer that sacrifice and he would sprinkle the blood on the seat, he would come out from the holies of holies And he would issue the word to tetelestai, which means atonement complete. Your sins are atoned. The sacrifice for sin has been completed. The atonement for sin is accomplished. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, folks, it was twofold. Number one, he was the Lamb. He was the Lamb. John, when he saw Jesus, amen, he saw him as he was coming down. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." In the book of Revelation, it talks about Christ being the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world. Christ was and is our substitutionary Lamb. He was the Lamb in the thicket for Abraham. Amen. That covered, amen, Isaac. And he is the Lamb for you and I. Amen. And when his blood was shed on the cross, amen, he was acting as that sacrificial Lamb and was able to say, to tell us, atonement complete. Yes. But not only was he the Lamb, he was also typified by that high priest. Hallelujah. Hebrews tells us this, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood. Again, the substitutionary Lamb, by his own blood, not the bulls of goats and heifers, but by his own blood he entered into once the holy place, having obtained mercy, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, hallelujah, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that moment, as he was offering his own blood, he as the high priest was offering that blood, amen, for the atonement of the sins of the whole world. Amen. As the high priest, amen, he was able to say, tetelestai. Atonement complete. Atonement complete. Oh, there's so much to preach here. Amen. The blood of a bull or a goat or a heifer that was offered in that Old Testament economy, it was good to cover the sin of the nation for 1 year. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," hallelujah, it didn't just atone for man's sin, which means to cover, but it removed man's sin. Hallelujah. Oh my God. He brought us from dead works back unto life. He redeemed us. He purchased us. And he said, "You're not going to have to, amen, offer a sacrifice for your sin every year. This is the sacrifice." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just going to cover your sin. I'm going to redeem you from your sin. I'm going to cast your sins as far away as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Amen. Atonement complete. It is finished. The blood in that Old Testament economy is good for 1 year, but Jesus' blood is good for all of eternity. Hallelujah. That'll make a mummy want to shout right there. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus redeems my sins for all of eternity. Amen. I remember what I was before I was saved. As long as I have the propensity to be in my right mind, amen, I will remember, Brother Homer, what I was. Oh, but can I tell you, God has forgotten more than I'll ever know, because he forgot my sins. When I stand before him, he don't see my past sins. He sees the blood of his son. He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my God. And the blood still says, to tell us, mission accomplished. I died for him. I redeemed him. He's not a sinner anymore, but he's a child of mine. Hallelujah. My atonement for sin is complete. My redemption for sin is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does it mean atonement complete, but to tetelestai means paid in full. You see, when somebody racked up some debt and they were able to pay it off, the debt collector at the bottom of that tab would write, tetelestai. This bill has been paid. Or if someone were to pay a bill on behalf of another, he would write the word, tetelestai, which means it's paid. It's over. It's finished. This note is not going to be held over his head anymore. I'm here to pay the debt. I'm here to settle the differences. Can I tell you on the cross, hallelujah, when you and I owed a debt that we could not pay, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. Amen, because you could slay Corey Brown 50 million times over. Amen, and it never do anything for the sins of this world. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, it was able to redeem man from their sins. And when my blood, amen, it had no power over my sin, much less the sin of anybody else. Jesus said, I'm willing to take their place. I'm willing to be their sacrifice. I'm willing to be the substitutionary lamb. And folks, he paid the debt that he did not owe so that you and I could walk free in the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. Thank God. He said, it is finished, and my sin and debt was paid. Hallelujah. He said, it is finished. This bill has been paid. And as long as you walk in me, you don't ever have to worry about it again. Thank God. This picture is like the prodigal son. Went out, spent all that he had. Wasted it all with riotous living. That was Corey Brown. That was me. But when he sobered up and he come to himself, he said, I'll go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. He had it all rehearsed in his mind, Brother Homer. He was expecting to have to plead his case to his father. But the Bible said, while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, ran, kissed him. He rehearsed his speech. He said, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. That father said, I ain't having none of that. I know that ain't correct English. Ain't either. Said, I'm not having any of that. You bring me a robe. Put on him. His righteousness is as a filthy rags, but he's my boy. Amen. He's going to look like my son. He removed those filthy rags, put him on a white robe. Amen, which represents righteousness. He said, you put shoes on his feet. Shoes. Slaves didn't own shoes. Amen. They didn't own shoes. But he said, you ain't a slave. You're my son. Put shoes on his feet. Bring me a ring and put on his finger, which is what I want to get to. You see, in biblical days, they didn't have Capital One or American Express credit cards. I wish we didn't today. And all the people that has them and pays a bill every month says amen. It is a necessary evil in today's society. It'd be a lot simpler. We didn't have them. They didn't have Bank of America. Capital One. What they did is they had rings. And on that ring was a family signet or seal. And if you went to market and you didn't have money in your pocket and you didn't have anything to barter, you could take that ring and you could dip it in dye or in ink or whatever they had. They would write out a bill of sale and you would take the signet on that ring and you would put it down on that bill. And that says, my family name is good for this bill. Oh, you ain't shouting yet. My family name is good for this. I don't have the money to pay for it right now, but my daddy does. Hallelujah. And so when that prodigal son came home, he said, you take my ring and you put on his finger. Anything this boy wants or needs, I'm good for it. Amen. Anything he needs, amen, it's going to be paid in full. Hallelujah. Folks, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. We had racked up a sin debt that we didn't know. Amen. But we don't have to dip a ring in ink and put it to a bill to try to pay for sin. No, it's already been purchased. For it's already been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and anything I need, amen, my Father already has. He's already purchased salvation, he's already purchased deliverance, he's already purchased the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's already purchased divine healing, he's already purchased a mansion on the other side with streets of gold and gates of pearl. It's already been paid in full to tell us die. Jesus covers it all. Lastly, that word to tell us die. It means a new beginning. I don't have time to preach all of it this morning. Wish I did. But a word depicts a turning point. When one period ends and a new period begins. The covenant of the law was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And the covenant of grace was instituted when he said to Tetelestai, it is finished. Amen. A new beginning. You see, not only does that speak of one covenant ending and another covenant beginning, but it also speaks about a new and a living way through Christ Jesus. Yeah. To where we, all the scripture comes to a culmination right here at this point. He talked to Nicodemus. He asked Nicodemus, said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how is it I can be born again when I'm old? Do I enter into my mother's womb to be born a second time? Jesus, paraphrasing here, said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, looking at things through a natural sense, in the natural, men can't have a new beginning. You can't. You can start a new chapter. People tell you all the time, you can have a new beginning. You can start afresh. That's impossible. You can always have new endings, but you can't back up and have a new beginning. In the natural, in the flesh, it's impossible. But in Christ, hallelujah. You see, when we walk in Christ, we don't turn over a new leaf. We don't start a new chapter. We don't embark on a new path. We don't try a new way. All things become new. In Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In the flesh, you can't have a new beginning. But in Christ, a new beginning. Amen. It's not only possible, but it's a necessity. You must be born again. Amen. Tetelestai, a new beginning. Amen. A new beginning is here. Christ made that new beginning possible. He is our new and our living way. Brother Clint, if you'll come help me, I'm done. I don't have time. I'm closing with this. I told you earlier, I'm not good with English. I was a sports editor when I became a sports writer when I graduated high school. A couple of weeks later, congratulations, you're the sports editor at the newspaper. Thank God my boss liked me. Because my first couple of papers that I turned in, the sports section went to the general editor. And I knew she wasn't happy when she come to my desk. She threw the sports section down on it. I said, what's that? She said, look at it. I said, it looks like a Christmas tree. It's got red marks all over it. She said, yeah, that's what you sent over to me. She said, you got an hour to fix it. I said, yes, ma'am. Sad thing is, I worked on it for an hour and I turned it back in and it came back just as much the second time as it did the first. English wasn't my thing. Never was really that good at it. Enjoyed history, enjoyed different things. Grammar, not so much. So I had to dig on this part. I was stumped here, but when I finally got it, Brother Joey, the light bulb went off. I said, I want to close with this. On the cross, when Jesus uttered the words, it is finished, tetelestai, we told you what that means. But there's even a deeper significance in the Greek than those four meanings. You see, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, this is lost in the English. But when he said, it's complete, it's closed, it's fulfilled, the verb form that Jesus used, and again, I'm going to try not to take us, don't take it this way, I'm trying to school you this morning. But when Jesus uttered those words, he's speaking here in the perfect tense, which is rare in the New Testament. It's used in very little places, and it has no English equivalent. We've got past tense. We've got present tense. We've got future tense. There may be an English teacher here, and if you say I'm wrong, I accept it this morning. I'll take my lashes. But this particular phrase, the perfect tense, it's made up of two combinations. Number one, it's present tense. When Jesus said that it's finished, presently he was saying it's complete. The law, the covenant, everything is complete at this moment, in this time. It has been completed. It's finished. It's done. It's over with. But he also spoke in the aorist tense, which means that it's something that not only happens, excuse me, that was the aorist tense, but the present tense here is linear, meaning that something that is going to continue on in the future. And it's going to be something that is constantly ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. So when he said it's finished, he was saying in the present tense, right now, it's finished. Sin, it's finished. If you'll call on my name, it's finished. If you'll believe in my shed blood, it's finished. The law is fulfilled in Christ. He come not to abolish the law. He come to fulfill the law. We know it was fulfilled in Christ. Presently, he was saying it's finished. Amen. But he's also saying in the future, it's going to continue being finished. It's going to continue. There's going to be a continuation here. Hallelujah. You see, when I'm saved, amen, when I'm born again, I'm not just saved in that moment, but I'm constantly and continuously being saved. Oh, hallelujah. When I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost and power, it's not just a one-time event, but constantly and continuously we are to be baptized over and over and over again. That's what Jesus is saying here in these verses. It is finished. I finished it all. Amen. It's complete in me. But if you'll walk, if you'll believe in me continuously, you don't ever have to worry about that sin again. You don't ever have to worry about that addiction again. You saying, I can't shake it, I can't stop it. You can't, but he already has. My God, don't walk in your own power. Walk in the tetelestai power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's finished. It's over with. You can't, but he can. You can't, but he already has. Hallelujah. It is finished. Constantly, continuously. I'm saved, but I'm constantly being saved. Hallelujah. Thank God it's finished. Amen. Brother Ricky, it's finished this morning. Brother Homer, it's finished. I don't know what you need. I'm done. I'm finished. Tetelestai, I'm through. I don't know what you have need of this morning. But I can tell you in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's already finished. Amen. Let that sink in. It's already finished. Hallelujah. Isaiah spoke prophetically said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
But when Peter wrote and he uttered those words, used some of the same words, but at the last end, he said, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
Past tense, your healing has already been purchased in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's finished. It's done. Whatever you need right now, I don't know what needs you might have brought into this. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen, my God, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I don't know what you come into the house needing this morning, but I can tell you it's already finished.
Yeah.
It's already finished. Amen, the price has already been paid. If you by faith can but believe, hallelujah, all things are possible to him that believes. I'm talking to somebody right now. You're facing an utter impossibility. Amen. You're facing a mountain of unbelief and of doubt, thinking that God can't. I'm here to tell you he already has. He already has. He's already paid the price. Amen. In the blood. Amen. That he offered for us. So whatever you need, you don't have to come down and beg God and beseech God for it this morning. But by faith, you can put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that it's finished. It's through. It's complete. When's the answer going to come? I don't know, Brother Homer. But by faith, I believe it is. Hallelujah. I believe it's finished. And God is still God. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God's going to extract that root of bitterness. God's going to extract that root of doubt. God's going to extract that spirit of infirmity. God's going to remove the addiction. God's going to remove the sin. Amen. By the blood of his Son, it is finished. Stand with me all over the building. I'm done. Hallelujah. You're here and you're lost. Jesus is in the house to save. You're here in this house, you're sick. He's in the house to heal. Amen. You need a spiritual gift. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's here. You need to kick an addiction. You can't kick it on your own. If you could, it would have already been gone. But by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Son hath made free, shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house this morning. You have something this morning you need from God. Amen. There's no day like today to get saved. No day like today. Amen. To receive a miracle, a breakthrough, a blessing. Step out of your pew. Meet this preacher in the altar this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. It's finished. It's finished. Whatever you need. You need healing. It's finished. You need healing. Hallelujah. It's here. You need a touch. You need a breakthrough. It's finished. To tell us now it's over. Hallelujah. Not only is it over, it's going to be over tomorrow. Hallelujah. The next day and the day after that, it's going to be complete and perfect in Christ. Hallelujah. Come on and help us pray this morning. Around.